New York City.
Glitter.
Decadence.
Where the fuck you get off talking to people about me behind my back going over my head?
Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian. I don't like
And then we heard a little bit from Sandy T and her feelings about I'm Going to Kill You. And Sandy is the pod mistress of the Lesbian Mafia, which is definitely one of the best podcasts that probably the best podcast on Podomatic.
And it's also, and like, one of the biggest, right, on the internet or something.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a really, really good show. And it's funny, and she's funny, and her friends are funny. And you
it's
can
funny.
Go
There's
to...
a lot of funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny. It's funny.
Funny. You're funny looking.
That wasn't even clever. Go, yes, check out the lesbianmafia.podomatic.com.
We're so honored to be in their company.
Yes.
So I have something interesting to tell you.
Yes, please tell me.
I think you may have heard rumors about this because apparently it's going around the rumor mill. But my new hobby has been spirit communications. Because I've become obsessed with the occult. I'm going through this phase, you know.
Hello, you're listening to show number 21 of the Lesbian Mafia, and I am your host, Sandy! How did that sound? I've been practicing that. I've been hoping that I could get it to sound, like, sufficiently nutty. So I hope that it worked. I can't hear it right now on the other end. And I don't even have my headset on, so I don't know if I'm... if my levels are right. I never really know if my levels are right. And they're actually never really ever right. And I don't know if there will be a day that I will ever get the levels right. And, you know, like, 1 minute it's low, then the next minute I'm screaming in your ear and you got to lower it and turn up the volume and this and that. And I feel very guilty about that. And I also am concerned about the people who listen to this program in these earbuds in your ears. Like, I'm concerned. Are you, like, you know, are you keeping it too loud? Is it, you know, hurting your ears? What if this, like, hurts your hearing? Like, maybe you should lower this. I don't know. I have guilt over everything. I just have guilt over everything. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. Like, everything I do, I will find something to be guilty about in almost everything that I do. But I'm very glad to be able to bring this show to you again, and very humbled by the shout out that I played for you at the beginning by my podcast boyfriends over at I'm Going to Kill You. And you'll have to listen to their latest installment to hear their Ouija board adventures on podcast. I just feel really privileged to be able to do this, you know, whenever I feel like doing it, and being able to do it when it is convenient. You know, you have to say thank you to the people who make this platform available, and that is the podcast directories, like Podomatic. And this is a really good platform to be on, because I've checked out the others, and for me, so far, this is, you know, Podomatic's directory has been the perfect fit. I'm, you know, the customer service is great. Johnny over at Podomatic. I mean, you know, you get telephone customer service, which is not something that you get on every podcast directory. So I'm really comfortable where I am. And I'm also very grateful because without these podcast directories, there wouldn't be any podcasts. And I've never really mentioned this before because, you know, I feel like, I don't know, it just feels like, you know, why say it? But the Lesbian Mafia is and has been number one on the Podomatic directory in comedy for a very long time. And I feel like a jerk saying that because I just don't really, I don't know, it's just weird to toot your own horn. But, you know, you don't want it to become about that. When you, you know, when I started doing this, I had my own reasons for starting to do this. And, like, you just don't really want it to become about where you are on a podcast directory. You know what I mean? But it really, it's nice to see yourself there, you know, because it's really validating. Why do you need validation from others? Because I'm a big ball of insecurity. This is true. You probably already know it. Why else would I be talking into a microphone? Staring at my wall in front of me, which is very ugly, by the way. And I should mention that a very good friend of mine who does the Chaos radio show, Heidi, she was pretty much the one who really gave me the oomph to go on ahead because I'd been blogging and she was like, you know, really encouraging me and very helpful. And all the people over at Chaos are very nice. Chris and all those guys are very nice and very helpful. And they are, I mean, you know, my mortal enemy. I mean, clearly, and you'll understand why if you listen to the show, that they should be my mortal enemies. But in fact, they are not. They were quite the ally. You can catch a picture of Heidi in my picture den on my MySpace. And she's doing some really interesting things with that Lesbian Mafia shirt. I think it's very interesting. But you can listen to some of Chaos Radio's shows at chaosradio.podomatic.com. Okay, and that being said, there was also an article in The Advocate in the January 29th issue on the Lesbian Mafia, and Janet Trakin was the one who carried that through for me, and I'm very grateful for that, too. That's kind of fun. I guess that's press or, you know, whatever. That's what they call it, is press. And I'm really not that type, you know, I'm really not a press person. I don't show any of us on the website because, you know what, I don't want to ever go somewhere and say, hey, I saw you and, you know, you do this and can you plug me? Can you give me a plug? I need a plug. I've designed lesbian toilets. Can you plug me for free? I don't want to do anything. I just want you to take up your time because all of those people who listen, they want to hear about my toilets. You should know this, Sandy. They want you to talk about my toilets on your show. Like, I just don't want to be bothered. I'm a really private person. And to me, press is not my thing. It's just, I do enjoy making people laugh and being, you know, having fun and that kind of thing. But am I the type to, you know, want my picture everywhere? To want to be everywhere? That is really not me. But at the same time, you know, there's always that duality. Like, I'm very grateful because if, you know, you get press and the show gets more popular and more people can listen to your message, to what, you know, you have to say. And I did start doing this podcast with a message. I had a very clear message and it was to, you know, targeted to my community, basically, but also hopefully through some humor, educate straight people, if that is at all ever possible, because there is a very large listener base of this show that is straight. And I'm sometimes like, I freak out because I know that there's a lot of straight men that listen to this show. And I think, are they listening because they're perverts, or are they listening because maybe they're learning something, or maybe they're kind, you know, they lean towards, maybe they're not chauvinistic, or, you know, why, like, why do the, like, I wonder why I can't understand, you know, because sometimes I feel like I'm a little harsh, but maybe I'm not so harsh if, you know, straight men are listening and they're enjoying the show and laughing. But that idea started to, you know, to build like some mystique, like who are these women talking? Because, you know, like in the mob, you're never really allowed to see the head person's face, you know, so, but it's actually served us all, I think, really well, because you don't know who's watching you on the internet and some crazy guy jerking off. I'm thinking, you don't know. People are crazy in this world. People are crazy. I don't want our picture all over the internet. You know, women have to be scared. You know, no matter how far we come in this world, there'll always be something that will happen that will put you right back in your place. Like, there'll be some, like, rapist running around in Queens. You know, just, and that'll just kind of like, you know, just when you think that, you know, you've come so far. You know, I can't remember, there was this quote that I read, and it was, you know, they were comparing that, you know, men can only understand what it's like to be a woman when they're in jail, because that is the only time that they're ever. I should actually find that quote. Let me Google that really quick. Okay, here goes. Living as a woman in a sexist world is to live in constant danger and fear via venomous words and vicious glances. Every woman knows this personal fear as deeply as she knows the taste of her own saliva. Men only taste this fear when they are imprisoned. Only then do they experience the curse of being sexual prey for 24 hours of every day. Only then do they know how every lewd glare can render them naked. Only then do they know the sexual harassment that women endure daily. The world is a prison for women. We are all sentenced to consecutive lives of misogyny without parole. Alicia Banks. So talk about Debbie Downer, but, you know, I really didn't want to go in this direction. But, I am particularly moved by that. And there was a point that I was making. I'm not sure what that was. But, you know, I don't want any of the women on this show posting their breasts on the internet. I don't want that happening. I don't want that happening. I don't want it happening. Hi, my name is Sandy. Hi, I'm Sandy. Yeah, but that all to go back to the original point, which was, you know, I know that a lot of people find, in particular, you know, lesbians, they find our lifestyle mysterious. So in a way, you know, I feel like maybe I'm letting people in to kind of voyeur with their ears, you know? Whereas, you know, you have things like the L word where they can voyeur with their eyes pretty much. And, you know, and then they give you the, you know, the junk food, which is all of the, you know, sex scenes and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I'm not comparing this in any way to the L word. I'm just saying that people do want to know what lesbian conversations sound like. They do. So I thought through these conversations and, you know, through, you know, balancing some seriousness and some humor that maybe, you know, I mean, I did have a message, you know, I didn't just start doing this because I want everybody to say, Sandy, I love you. You're God. You know, that's not what I want, is to hear that. I just want you to know that that's not what I'm after. That is not what I'm after. I'm on a mission with my microphone. Audacity, Podomatic, that's my mission. I'm really starting to sound very annoying to myself, to my own ears. I wonder, like, what do people who are doing, like, real monologues, like, what do they go through? They must go through hell. I would, like, shoot myself. Anyway, so listen, we'll get started. I have just a little bit for you today. Stay tuned for a song at the end. And, okay, so we'll begin.
But if you try to...
What is that noise?
Oh, I'm watching the ending of Cloverfield when it's like the best part. Hold on.
Why do you sniff like that?
Like what?
Like a drug addict.
Well, how does a drug addict sniff?
The way you're sniffing right now.
How do you sniff?
I just sniff regular. You sniff like...
Like I'm trying to take a bump up my nose?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very attractive. Okay, what I wanted to know... How did you feel when I fell asleep on you on the telephone?
Oh. I felt like I wasn't pleasing you and keeping you occupied. Like, you know, I didn't have your attention and I felt betrayed. Kind of a low blow to my self-esteem that I can't even get you to stay awake on the phone.
I know, you're really bad at that phone sex.
Oh, fuck you. I'm not.
No, but what
were, sick.
No, seriously, what were we talking about? The dimethyltryptamine or something?
Dimethyltryptamine, DMT. So, yeah, I saw that stupid Salvia video that you sent me.
Right, that kid.
And I keep trying to log into YouTube, but I forgot my fucking, my username.
Oh.
My password, I think. I can't watch it. Yeah, we were talking about the Salvia thing and then the DMT thing, and I just, you know, it was so exciting for you. You were beside yourself to the point where you knocked out and fell asleep on me, started snoring and shit.
No, but what I...
I was like, I'm like, hello, Sandy? Sandy, hello? I'm like, maybe my phone accidentally muted her. And I look at my phone like three times, I'm like, hello? And then you're like, oh, hello? I'm like, Sandy? And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I'm like, what happened? And you're like, I just fell asleep on you. And I was just like, oh, okay. I didn't know how to react at first. I kind of felt, you know, a little used and abused there.
Did you feel hurt?
I did. I did feel hurt. It was a hurt. It was a blow to the ego. And I couldn't even get you on the phone long enough before you started falling asleep. You know, you'd never fallen asleep in my presence. And if I can't even keep you on the phone long enough, I don't know what to do. You know, it's really hurting me right now.
Yeah, I'm usually hyper, pretty hyper, or.
Yeah.
I heard myself snore.
Oh my God!
And I caught myself two times. And then I heard myself do this, like that, and then I woke myself up. I was like, "Don't tell her that you're sleeping."
And then it happened again.
And then it happened the second time, and you didn't hear me. And I'm like, doesn't this bitch hear that I'm, like, snoring?
No, because I was reading, and I'm, like, speaking to you at the same time. I was,
Finally, and I remember doing this, telling you, oh, yeah, what does that mean? Just to make you keep talking so I could get more
time. Yeah, and then you're like, uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, okay, so she's still listening, you know?
Yeah, because like, I was getting sleep time in between.
What the fuck? Who does that?
I don't know why I didn't just say I'm tired, I need to take a nap.
I don't know. You're a strange one. I don't understand why you didn't just say that. That hurt my feelings that you fell asleep on the phone.
Yeah.
I can't please you over the phone.
I don't think that it really hurt your feelings, like, for real. I don't think, like...
No, it did. No.
Yeah.
Not at all. You're Sandy. That shit doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, whatever. It's a love-hate type of relationship. We fight.
Yeah.
You know, we get along the next day. You know, what can you do?
Yeah.
You want to hate me, you can hate me, but, you know,
why,
don't hate me.
Why would I want to hate you?
I'm just saying, like, if we were to get in a fight, you know, it never lasts longer than, like, a day or two.
Right.
We fight often.
Right. Right, you usually start often, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's me. It's always me.
No, well, you call me up today saying, I know that you're upset at me and you sent me a really messed up text. I'm like, I sent you a messed up text. When was this? And then
you sent me a voicemail.
Get your story straight, okay, Columbo?
Well, how about stop falling asleep while we're on the phone together? Okay?
Listen.
I got you because you fell asleep on me. I went to go see Cloverfield and then my phone rings and then... After I get out of the movie, I listen to this voicemail, and I'm like, oh, fuck. My anxiety level just went straight through the roof. My stomach dropped to the floor. You know what I mean? I had to take a shit. It was just horrible. It was horrible. You gave me such bad anxiety.
Good.
I'm like, she's mad at me again. What the fuck did I do? I don't know how to please this woman. Yeah, I was mad.
You called me up today saying you left me a really messed up text or a message or something or other.
Uh-huh.
Fine.
But you're mad at me.
And you're like, are you mad at me? So if you thought that I was mad at you, why would you wait like 5 days to call me? An entire weekend?
You left me the message on Friday and I called you on Monday. I had a lot of shit going on this weekend.
That's fine. If I thought you were upset...
I thought you were mad at me because I'm like, okay, I'm going to call her and this is going to turn into a big to-do. And I'm like, let me just call her when I have the energy to argue. So I called you today after I took my nap, and I'm like, okay, please don't have her be mad at me. Because I don't want to get in another argument.
You start the arguments. You rile yourself up for an argument. You're nuts. And all of a sudden, you're in an argument.
Yeah, well, what can I do?
You're a fucking...
Very defensive.
You're a crackhead.
I'm not a fucking crackhead.
Yeah, you're on crack.
Saline head. I'm on saline, bitch. It was a program. That's the new shit. It's all about the saline.
I told you to buy the nose bidet.
I'm sorry. I can't picture myself putting a little fucking blue teapot to my nostril and flushing it. Like, I don't know. It's just,
Yeah, well, when you have...
I have a hard enough time spraying the saline in my nose. Like, it feels really awkward. Yeah, but I can fucking pierce my septum, right? I don't know, I'm strange.
Yeah, but I know that, like, it's doing something good. That's why I'm able to do it.
Yeah, it did kind of help after I did the saline. Like, I'm not as bad as I was before.
Yeah, well, you're just, like, washing it out. You're washing out all the icky stuff, you know?
Yeah, it was gross. Like, ugh.
Yeah, do you pick your nose sometimes?
No, I use a napkin.
Let's play that moment of truth game right now. You know that game? Okay, we're going to play a moment of we're going to play the moment of truth right now.
Oh fuck. Okay.
Okay. First,
go on.
I'm going to give you three questions.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You have
god.
To
okay.
answer them honestly, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Okay, the first one is do you ever pick your nose?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have a lie detector, so I can't test. Have you seen the show, A Moment of Truth?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it's out of control.
I don't have a lie detector, but okay. I'll use my intuition.
Okay.
As a lie detector. Number two. The second question is... No, I won't do that one. Okay. Let me think of a good question. And while I'm doing this, you think of questions to ask me, okay? A moment of truth. That's what we're doing right now.
That's Jeopardy.
Oh. Do you know who came up with Jeopardy, that game?
Who?
Merv Griffin.
Really?
He also came up... Yeah, he was like this game show guru. He came up with, I think, Password and the other one, Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, I love Wheel of Fortune. I always play it online.
Yeah, genius. You know, he's gay, of course. You know, genius. What are you going to do?
Of course. All right, okay.
Okay, question number two.
Okay.
I don't have one. I'm thinking.
Yes!
Question number two. How many relationships have you been unfaithful in?
Two.
My intuition tells me this is a false answer. You will not get the $100,000.
Can I explain myself?
Absolutely not. I'm Alex Trebek. I don't have any time and I'm an alcoholic and I could start cursing at any time. You know, he was like a raging alcoholic. He used to drink on the set. Yeah. And he used to like curse and stuff. He was like a real crackhead.
Yeah, he was bad.
Okay, my third question was going to be, have you done ass-to-mouth penetration? But okay, so we don't have time for that today. Okay, so you have your three questions for me. Go ahead.
Okay, question one, Sandy. Do you like the smell of your own farts? You have to answer honestly.
I do not.
My intuition says you are lying. You think your farts smell like strawberries. Question number two. Well, let's just turn the tables on you, Missy.
Certainly.
How many times have you been unfaithful in your past relationships?
I pressed the ding.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
The answer to that would be zero. I have never been unfaithful in a relationship. Not physically.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no. You know what? The only time I ever cheated was when I was already being cheated on.
Wow. That really changes things around.
I've never been the first to initially cheat on somebody in a relationship. Never.
What sense does that make? You're still a cheater.
After I got cheated on?
Yeah.
Already ending?
No.
There's no arguing.
No, if you're going to be physical with someone else, then you end the relationship. Just because
the relationship had basically already come to an end.
It was, listen, this is my game show!
Okay. You don't play fair.
No. Just because someone cheats on you first and then you do it back to them, I'm sorry, that's still considered cheating, okay?
Yeah, it's been years, okay? Third question.
Yes, my love.
Third question.
Yes.
Now, I want you to answer honestly because I will know that you are lying, okay?
Okay.
Now, Sandy, what is your stand on the camel toe?
What is my...
Sandy, we need an answer, Sandy.
And what do you know about this?
I don't know if it turns you on or not.
Oh, does the camel toe turn me on? That's such a disgusting question.
Answer the question, Sandy. The time is running out.
I'm neutral.
Sandy, you need to answer the question.
I'm neutral.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah,
you're definitely not getting any money out of me. No, you're not winning shit. Lying.
I have clearly won this game. I have clearly won this game.
Oh, please. Please.
I have clearly won.
No, how did you win?
I won. You lost.
Okay, whatever. You know what? I'll give it to you.
You're the loser.
You're the one with the camel toe fetish, okay? You're the one with the camel toe fetish, not me. I'd rather be a nose picker than enjoy a camel toe. No, you know what? I've seen small, tiny, itty-bitty camel toes. Me and my friends, we go crazy with the camel toe. Like,
this conversation's making me sick.
One time I was traumatized by camel toe. I never forget it. I went to the Orange County Fair, like, maybe 5 years ago, and this woman was wearing white sneakers and like a white top, mm-hmm. and these bright red dollar store stretchy pants, mm-hmm. and she had the most insane camel toe that like I lost it. I like rolled out of the car. It was hilarious. So
this conversation
had anything to do with size.
Is giving me nausea.
I think it's actually if you've got a high rise pussy or a low rise pussy. You know what I mean? I think maybe
can
that
we
has lost
end this conversation? It's making me nauseous.
Why? It's normal.
It's gross.
I mean,
it's so disgusting.
Well,
disgusting.
Whatever.
I won the game, and you lost.
At least you're not falling asleep now that I'm talking about the camel toe. There to justify my question about your camel toe fetish.
Question number four.
No. It was a 1-3. 1-3, cut and dry. That's it. We'll play this game next time, okay?
Yes. All right. Thanks. We're definitely playing The Moment of Truth.
What?
We definitely will be playing The Moment of Truth again.
The next time I'm going to hook you up to a lie detector machine.
My intuition is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know when you're lying.
I'm not lying. I told you the truth.
Right.
I've never officially gone and cheated on anybody.
No, you're lucky. I was easy on you. You're lucky I'm merciful.
Hey, I was easy on you, too.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't too bad.
No, you weren't.
I'll get you next time.
Thank you, Lolly.
You want to play rough? We'll play rough next time. Bye.
I know that was an accident. I'm sorry.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you. How do you feel when you see lesbians taking photographs with their pets like it's their children, like it's a family photograph?
It's just like, if you want a child, just go have a child. Well, yeah, it's kind of insulting to the parents because they try to compare it to, you're sending out pictures of your kids, so I'm going to send out pictures of my dog or my cat or something like that. It's like, get a freaking grip.
I think that we're very foolish sometimes.
We can be just very silly. I don't know, even if you're a pet lover, that doesn't have to be done.
Taking professional pictures with your pets, I think that's a little over the top.
Right, you take a regular picture or something, but we're going to do a professional picture and freaking send it out, freaking holidays, come on. Just stop it.
And actually, if you have, five dogs, you might as well have an infant.
Right.
Because they probably take up the same amount of time.
They take up the same amount of time and take the same energy. You have to worry about who's going to walk them, who's going to feed them when you're not around, when you go on vacation, you got to decide who they're going to stay with. You have to get home. You can't be out all day.
They have to go to the vet and get vaccinated, and then they don't even have health insurance.
It's the same thing. You might as well just get the baby. The thing about that one is that you could probably give it away without being, like, you know, accountable.
Yeah, right.
Right, give it away. You can't just give away your child, but still.
That's true. If you want, you could always take your cat, put it in a box, and drive to the highway and just, you know.
Oh, my God, you can't do that. The only thing is that you wouldn't get, like, you know, like, it won't be a criminal act or whatever, but that's still bad. That's still wrong.
Right, like, if I wanted to right now, I could take Twilo, my cat, and I could put him in the freezer and lock him in there for, like, an hour.
Andy.
Like, if I wanted to right now, I could open up the oven and turn it up to 300.
You're not going to jail or anything. It's only different.
Like, kids really take a lot more energy, I think.
It's much more. You can't, you're thinking you can always get rid of that pet. You cannot get rid of a child.
Yeah, that kid is around until sometimes till it's 30.
And just never leaves.
That kid just...
You get a little break. When you have a kid, it's not, you don't get a break.
You just never get a break when you have children. And then what happens when they move out?
Who, the children? Or
yeah, the children.
I don't know, then I guess you miss them if they ever leave, but a lot of, it seems like they're not leaving these days. Apartments are too expensive. They're better off just staying at home and paying rent.
That's true. Soon we're going to be living here like the way they live in Indonesia. Soon we're all going to have knapsacks and we're going to be sleeping 10 to a room.
10 to a room and everybody's just, you know.
Just to be able to afford the rent here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy. What else is going on? Is anything else exciting going on?
Five-year-old that was handcuffed, but that's stupid.
The five-year-old was handcuffed?
Yeah.
You see how you people are? What did this five-year-old... What did this five-year-old child do to anyone to deserve to be handcuffed? Things are just out of control.
I resent the way you go. You see how you people are?
What is going... A five-year-old gets handcuffed. I want anarchy. What's going on?
I don't know. I know that the kid was behaving badly in class, and the school-safety agent handcuffed him.
Oh, my God. That is so terrible.
I was disgusted. I thought that was terrible. I was like, I cannot believe.
That is so traumatic. Now he's going to grow up to be like Son of Sam, and whose fault is it? Whose fault is that going to be? When he's shooting brunettes.
I can't believe that they did that to that poor kid. I mean, I just kept thinking, well, how bad was the poor little five-year-old behaving that he felt he had to handcuff?
Jesus Christ, and you know who he's going to take that out on? He's going to be shooting up women when he's about 20 years old. He's going to be a serial killer. Why? What was he doing that he needed to be handcuffed? I would sue the shit out of that place.
I would too. I think that was very crazy.
Poor little child. Actually, we should probably see... We should probably see the video first.
I know. Next you see the kid in there, like, wreaking havoc. Tearing everything up. Sometimes a five-year-old could be a big five-year-old, you know? Could be like a big freaking kid.
Maybe he jumped on the man's face and was scratching his eyes out.
Look, and then everybody tried to jump on the bandwagon, and this lady had, like, a 12-year-old daughter saying she was handcuffed. I was like, okay, now, no, handcuff that girl. Because if you tell her to do something, you tell her to sit down, and she don't sit down, she knows better. The five-year-old, give them the benefit of the doubt. A 12-year-old, you know when the authorities or somebody older is speaking to you and telling you to do something, you do it, or you get the restraints.
So you really feel like this? You Nazi? You really feel like this? You're a Nazi! I don't understand what's going on!
No, you know what? You have no idea. You go. I worked in some of these schools, and these kids are rude and obnoxious, and they will fight you.
What kind of fascist police state are we in? You want to handcuff a 12-year-old girl? Do you know, I think I weighed 58 pounds when I was 12.
Go in there, and you see that same 12-year-old girl will punch you right in your face and call you a bitch and call your mother a hoe. You don't know these 12-year-old girls in the schools that I'm talking about. Okay? You go out there and see.
They'll call your mother a hoe?
That's right. They punch you in your face, call you a bitch, and tell you your mother's a hoe.
Can't you restrain a 12-year-old without...
I'll restrain the 12-year-old, but the 5-year-old, I think that was a bit much.
So what are you going to do, go beating up a 12-year-old and stuff and giving her a black eye?
If I had to, I'd box her right out.
You'll go one-to-one with a 12-year-old?
Toe-to-toe, we'd be boxing. Let me tell you. The average 12-year-old is actually bigger than me. I have to box her right out.
I mean, honestly, who couldn't restrain a 12-year-old? Honestly. No, seriously. Do you really think? Well, maybe if she had like
a... Sandy. They were showing her on TV. She was about my height or taller and bigger than me in size. Now, have you seen American Kids lately? A 12-year-old is a big girl. They're not little.
How big would you compare her? Like,
she was almost as big, taller than her mother. For a minute there, you had to figure out who was the mother and who was the child.
Would you be afraid to fight her?
No, I'm not afraid to fight her. I'm just saying that you wouldn't want to have to fight her. But, I mean, obviously, if your ass do some, she doesn't want to do it, and she wants to get fight back and get crazy. What do you
listen, do? If I catch you on the news... For going toe-to-toe with a 12-year-old, that's it. This relationship is over. That's where I draw the line. Have you ever been in a physical altercation?
No.
You've never been?
Well, I don't get physical with these crazy people.
You never get physical? Let
not
me hear
like
your
that.
Body talk?
Not with the kids, no.
What about adults? Have you punched anybody out?
No.
Did you ever pistol whip somebody?
No, only on TV.
Did you ever take your baton out and like hit people really hard with them?
Are you crazy?
You never took your baton out and hit somebody with it?
No. I
so
am.
Why do you have it?
I come in peace. I don't want to be beating people.
Did I tell you about the time that I almost ran over those two police officers in Times Square?
Mm-mm.
My computer died and I needed internet access. So I went into the city to get internet access. And I couldn't find parking. I couldn't find the place where I was going. I was a nervous wreck. So, you know, I was on my cell phone. And I was looking left and right for parking. It was a madhouse because it was, you know, Times Square. It's a madhouse there. And I wasn't going very fast. But then there was two cops standing right in front of my car. And I almost hit them. And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, yeah, well, put your seatbelt on. And then he saw that I had it on. And I was like, okay. And I drove off. They didn't say anything. Why didn't they, like, arrest me and feel me up?
Are you crazy?
Why didn't they arrest
Not
me?
All cops are crazy. They probably just figured it was an honest mistake.
What would you have done if I nearly ran you over? Like, they had their hands on the hood of my car because I nearly rolled over them like two pancakes.
Nothing. If I could see that it was an honest mistake, you'd be like, all right, be careful of them.
And you wouldn't penalize me for being on my cell phone?
Not really. Well, I mean, like I said, according to what it is, if they probably noticed that you were just all frantic and trying to do something, they probably didn't care.
I would say, show me your breasts and I'll let you give me a ticket. If you show me your boobs, then I will allow you to give me a ticket. That's what I would say.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get you crazy.
Thank you very much. So it was very nice hanging out with you. And I will make a confession here, is that even when my friends send me pictures of their children, like Christmas cards with pictures of their family, first off, I think, Jesus Christ, it's 2008. Why are you having so many children? And I also, if I haven't seen those kids, let's say, in over 6 months or a year, and I don't feel a particular attachment to them at the moment, I throw the picture out. I throw the card out with the picture of them and their entire family. And I don't even, like, think about it. I do think about it and I feel guilty. And then I, rip it up and throw it out. I don't care. I really don't. That's the truth. I just don't care. You know? I don't really care. Just send me a regular Christmas card. And that's good enough for me. Something cute. It goes better because not only that, these Christmas cards where people take pictures of themselves on it and with their entire family, they don't stand up by themselves. You know, I usually put my Christmas cards on like a table or something and they don't stand up. So it's just like the picture just ends up, nobody sees the picture anyway. And, you know, I really can't wait to throw it out because it just litters up wherever I am. I've been going on way too long about this. I hope that you had a decent time with us today, and I'm really glad to have been able to bring this show to you. And what else? I will be closing off with a song from Akil, and right now he is in Paris, and you may know this song. He's a darling person, and you know we only support the gays over this way, but he's a lovely, darling man, and he does a lot of activism. He involves himself in really worthwhile activist causes and this kind of thing. So, whatever it is that you're doing, I'm not sure what that is. It's February. That means we're in the heart of winter here in New York City, which is not fun for me or my joints, but... you know, we're 1 month closer to spring, which I'm very happy about. So, you know, if you're somewhere warm, you know, I hate you. Great. Okay. So I love you guys and I will talk at you again very soon. If you want to catch more of what Akil is doing, you can catch him on his MySpace at Akil Online, AKILONLINE. Okay. Talk at you again. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.
can't you see? I've always tried to please. I wore ribbons and jewelry and makeup and perfume and dresses down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along, but I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian, I don't like nothing swinging between their legs. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, I don't know why God gave me eggs. When I have sex, it's fun and clean, and no man can jump in between. No, talk behind my back and criticize my life, but I get no complaints from Lou Diamond Phillips' wife. And I'm a lesbian, I'd rather be with Jane and Dick. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, a penis doesn't do the trick. When does cheerleading practice start? Hey there, cutie.